Checking on the Arts is made possible by Memphis College of Art and by the Orpheum Theater. The Tributaries series continues at the Metal Museum with Stephen Yusko. He was a former apprentice there, and he's taught at Haystack School of Crafts, Deer Isle on Maine, Pinland School of Crafts in North Carolina, and Webster University in Webster Grove, Missouri. Won multiple awards and recognition. He received his BFA from the University of Akron and his MFA from Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. Currently lives and works in Cleveland, Ohio, and this is a very big treat for me because Steve was one of the guys who taught the blacksmithing courses that I took at the Metal Museum, these many years ago, and Stephen Yusko has joined me today along with Houston Cofield from the Metal Museum. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Thanks, Daryl.
Steve, this show is very interesting. I've been looking at some of the stuff that you sent along with some of the stuff from the Metal Museum, and there is very much of a theme here, very much of an idea, and a lot of it is stuff that I know that you are very interested in, and machining and precision forging and the use of color. Can you give us sort of an overview of what this exhibition is about?
Well, it's kind of about the concepts and ideas of home. And so the work I've been doing deals with sort of motion and perspective and again, ideas of home, concepts of home. What does home mean to people? You know, and for me, this is particularly great because it's been 20 years since I've been in Memphis. And so, you know, I feel like this is a big coming home for me to come to the museum where I got my start really in blacksmithing.
Sure.
You know, 2 years at the museum as the intern apprentice and then 3 more years as artist in residence. And so this is a really nice homecoming for me. And so it's really fitting that this work is here at the museum.
Home is obviously very much of a theme in this, in that there are literal representations of houses in many parts of this, and they each sort of represent something, maybe a different aspect of home.
Well, I started making these boxes when I was here at the museum. I worked at the museum from 91 to 96, and mm-hmm. during that time I started making steel vessels, and so it's kind of continued on, and they've always had this house or home-like or building structure. I'm really interested in architectural elements and ideas of travel, you know, bridges and roadways, and so the sculptures that are in the show along with some of the tables reference these bridges and roadways, particularly in Cleveland where I live. I mean, I'm not building a specific bridge when I make a table, but it certainly references that. The idea on how this bridge is made, the connections and the tools used to build these bridges, those references get kind of picked up and put into the work that I'm doing. And so Cleveland is really rich with the Cuyahoga River running through it. There are so many different kinds of bridges. And so I have this visual treat daily when I drive under or ride my bike over these bridges. So this, and we have a lot of building going on. They're building new highways in the city. So there's always something interesting to look at. And so that always gets picked up into the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's obviously a big part of it is the idea of these bridges and the idea of these distances separating home and wherever else you might be. I think that's obviously part of it.
Yeah, I had a residency in New York a year and a half ago or so, and so I was thinking a lot about what it means, what home means to me, and my wife is from Ireland, and so, you know, her family is in Ireland, and she's just recently lost her mother, and her father passed away before I met her, and so, you know, what does home mean for somebody like Ruthie when her place of home is, there's no longer anybody there in her
right.
little hometown in Wexford, Ireland, and so, you know, and what does home mean to somebody in Syria right now, or, you know, even for us growing up, home meant certainly a different thing than home means now. I mean, you know, 6 o'clock was dinner and, you know,
right.
mom, dad, 2.5 kids in the station wagon, and those days are long gone. And so I just think it's interesting to see how this idea of home twists and turns and flips around. And so these pieces kind of reference that with houses upside down and some right side up, some a lot more detailed than others, you know, some rudimentary structures and some just slots, you know, like 9 stacked up. So it's almost like when you're on the highway and you drive past and you look at these homes and you see the slicing of a house. So that's what some of the sculptures reference, something like that. And also the trestles that the sculptures are on, you know, they reference these bridge trestles, but they also reference sawhorses. When I was growing up, my dad and every dad in the neighborhood had sawhorses in the
sure.
garage, and that's where things happen. You know, everything was
yeah.
built on these sawhorses. And so that's sort of what's going on with these sculptures as well. So it's really, you know, detailed forging, machining and fabricating, and it's all about, you know, the forging. Everybody who forges the material talks about the plasticity of the steel, and that's the really great thing about forging steel is you take this hard material and you can hammer it into these graceful and elegant shapes, and it doesn't have to be these, you know, bomb, 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 you know, really heat it and beat it, you know, blacksmithing, because it also can be a very defined, refined and delicate forging, and I am more drawn towards that idea. Though these pieces are big, I mean, one of them is 7 feet long, so, you know, it's not all about little tiny connections and things, but I'm really intrigued by those little connections, and you put, you know, a load of connections together, and somehow you have a 7 foot long piece of sculpture.
That brings up an interesting point, is that in terms of materials, as you said, you have these forged pieces, and they are refined forging, as you said, but they are clearly forged. There are hammer marks, and you can see that they are handmade, and then you combine those with machined pieces of steel, which of course are essentially perfect. What's the contrast between those two things about?
Well, I think the cool thing is that, you know, you take this block of steel, like the legs, for example, on the newest piece are 1.25 inches by 1 inch, you know, by 3 feet long, and you forge those down to a shape, and then that shape gets machined so that the connections can work. So you don't really see any of the machining. Those are just in areas like the angles on the legs so that they can meet the sawhorse horizontal mm-hmm. element. Mm-hmm. You know, so with using the precise machining, I'm able to drill holes, rivet them in a very traditional, typical blacksmithing way to connect things by putting rivets in it, just like you would connect these bridges with rivets. But if the holes aren't exactly lined up, they're not going to work. And so that's where the machining really comes into play, or, you know, machining the Morse code lines down the houses, you know.
Now, so explain about that, because that's very cool.
Well, so I started when I was making some vessels earlier on. I was putting little squares and rectangular holes through the pieces just as an interesting design, you know, reacting to scratches on the steel and that sort of thing. And then I started thinking, well, I can say something with these dots and dashes, essentially, with squares and rectangles. And
right.
So I started using Morse code to say something in these. Like if someone commissioned a piece, I might, you know, use their initials, you know, dot, 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 dash, 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 you know, and that would be the front of the box.
Right.
So these pieces, some of them have home cut out of them in Morse code. And I think the beautiful thing, and we talked about this before the show, I'm not sure if Samuel Morse thought about this when he developed Morse code, but I'd like to think that he did, because home is 4, 3, 2, 1,
yeah.
And there are 5 dots and 5 dashes, and, you know, so it's this really beautiful metaphor for home, that it's symmetrical, but it's not balanced, or it's balanced but not symmetrical, you know,
right.
And things, it has to work, but yeah, so 5 dots, 5 dashes, and I just think it's so poetic and beautiful, and I think that's really what attracted me to using it in these pieces, you know. And again, I'm trying to make this steel have, you know, poetry and beauty to the work, and I, again, that's where the forging really is. It becomes really fun when you can do that with this material.
I want to talk about some of your other pieces. These blue houses, which sort of have the concept of sanctuary. What does that mean?
Well, there's the one of the blue vessels. I've been working with this blue color, you know, and I'd like to say that, you know, I've developed this great palette for these, you know, but a lot of it is what I scrounge up and cut apart. And so I found this really interesting piece of machinery that I cut apart to use this blue material. But in the show at the museum, there's a very large vessel, the biggest one I've ever built, 20 inches long. It's called Citadel. And so these houses become these structures where maybe, you know, ideas or concepts go. It's a safe place for them. Yeah, so this one is like 45 pounds and the lid lifts off. I'm not sure if anyone's ever going to pick up a 40-pound box and put something in it, but I just like the idea that it is this like safe house for an idea or a thought.
We're talking with Stephen Yusko. He's the latest artist in the Tributary series at the Metal Museum. The show opens tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and runs through August 7th in the Keeler and Sturm Galleries at the Metal Museum. If you'd like more information, of course, go to metalmuseum.org. Houston Cofield is also here. Naturally, along with this exhibition, we have several ancillary activities, too. What else is going on?
We always have lots of programming, so of course we're going to have on Sunday at 2:30, we're going to be having a gallery talk with Stephen, and that'll go on for about a half hour, and then we'll go into our opening reception at 3 to 5. So we'll have free admission during that time, and it'll be a really great time to hear more about Stephen's work, hear him talk about it, kind of hear some more in-depth stories behind the work and his process too. So yeah, if you have some free time on Sunday, I encourage you to come by the museum.
That should be really good. And we want to mention that tomorrow is actually International Blacksmithing Day.
It is. So Stephen will be around. There will be a lot of people working in the shop, and we're going to be doing a lot of fun demonstrations tomorrow that we don't normally do. We'll have a one-heat leaf competition. We'll be doing a sword and blade demo. So it's a really great time to come out to the museum and see sort of some unfamiliar things that you might not see every day. So it'll be a great day, and we'll have demonstrations from 10 to 3 tomorrow, and admission will also be free. So,
okay, lots of fun. Steve, this looks like a fascinating show. I can't wait to see it. I've known you for a long time, and I've seen many of your works before. Can you tell us a little bit about how you sort of evolved into this particular theme?
Well, some of the work from the show specifically came from a residency I had in New York about a year and a half ago, which was mostly a furniture residency. And so I went there with the idea that I was going to make these long, narrow tables that, again, reference these roadways, and I'd combine the vessels with them and maybe drawers or things like that. And as I got there and kind of scrounged up some materials and looked around and, you know, drove back and forth the 501 miles door to door, it just really made me think about these pieces. And, you know, it was mostly a woodworking residency, although there was a pretty decent blacksmith studio there. So, you know, there were these sawhorses everywhere, and I just started looking at the things that were around me, and it was, you know, 4 months of really intense, just be there and work and teach a class. So that's where a lot of them came from. But, you know, honestly, I think a lot of these really trace back to the very start of my working in iron. And again, a lot of that was here in Memphis, you know, just seeing that bridge going over to Arkansas to a friend's farm, and, you know, making these pieces that referenced equipment and tools. And I guess I've always been interested in that. And so it's nice to be able to carry that reference over to the place I am now in Cleveland and, you know, talk about these different structures that are, you know, more Cleveland based, or, you know, in all the travels I do, you know, up in Maine, on the coast of Maine and things like that. So, you know, just thinking about how this sense of place and sense of home and how those pieces work. So, yeah.
I just want to mention this, as I mentioned earlier, that you were one of the instructors for the two blacksmithing courses that I took at the Metal Museum.
I take no responsibility for that. I guess I have to take some.
And I just want to say that that's a huge amount of fun. It's a great thing to do, and I want to encourage people to check into that, because it's a great way to learn how this works. You know, even if you never do it again, just the act of doing this will contribute to your sort of knowledge of the world. And I know you teach all the time, don't you?
I do. I'm teaching a class this summer at Haystack School up in Maine, where I'm on the board, and I'm actually going to co-teach with a friend of mine from Venezuela, and I'm really looking forward to this with him. It's called Combining Forces, and it should be a great class. But yeah, I mean, just the classes at the museum, I mean, it's such a great resource that Memphis has with the museum here, and they do an amazing job with all these classes that they teach. And you're right, if you're never going to do it again, but just to see, like, what is involved, you know, picking up a hammer, getting a piece of steel hot and hitting it with a hammer, I mean, that goes back centuries. And it's such an amazing thing to do. And it's surprising. Houston and I were talking about this on the drive over. Within a weekend's workshop, the progress that you can make. Now, it takes a long time to refine those skills, as
sure,
it should.
Sure.
You know, you need to put in those 10,000 hours
that
are so familiar to us by now. But, you know, in 16 hours in a weekend, you can make really great progress. And so it's encouraging and it's rewarding as an instructor to see the light bulb kind of turn on when someone actually starts thinking in that material. And that's why we teach. I mean, it's anybody who teaches, I know, when someone starts thinking in that material, that's when it becomes really interesting. And you know, to see you do that 20 years ago, I can't believe it's been 20 years since I lived in Memphis.
I know.
You're getting old, Daryl.
Tell me about it. Yeah, it's becoming obvious. Well, it was a lot of fun, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in this to sign up for some of the classes at the Metal Museum. I think you're done with blacksmithing classes for the spring.
We are.
Now,
we're taking a little break because it gets a little too hot.
Yeah, yeah. But they'll start up again in the fall, so check the website for that. Stephen Yusko, the Tributaries exhibition at the Metal Museum. Museum opens tomorrow, runs through August 7th. Gallery talk on Sunday at when? 2:30?
2:30, yes.
And if you'd like more information, obviously go to metalmuseum.org. Stephen Yusko and Houston Cofield from the Metal Museum, thanks for coming out.
So good to see you. Thanks,
Daryl.